560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Did you miss me? I wasn't shooting.
Look at this guy.
Good morning.
Get him on a stage right now. His comedy career begins. Or should I say is resurrected, because our producer Dave actually was a hilarious comic back in his heyday.
A comic anyway, yeah.
Yeah, you've had some pretty sensational highlight reels. And we're joined by Allison DeLule. How
good
are you?
Good morning. I'm doing marvelous. How are you all?
Well, I'm better now that I'm hanging out with you. And
aww.
Speaking of doing even better than that, I believe you got a prayer for us this morning.
I sure do have a prayer for us. Today is the feast day of St. Anthony Mary Claret, so I've got a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who for the evangelization of peoples strengthened the Bishop St. Anthony Mary Claret with admirable charity and long-suffering, grant through his intercession that seeking the things that are yours, we may earnestly devote ourselves to winning our brothers and sisters for Christ, who lives and reign with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Father,
amen.
Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.
Well, yesterday I set off a bombshell in this studio when
you
people
did.
Found out that I exercise in my work clothes at
you
the gym.
You did? I'm still so traumatized.
So I'm proud. I realize what the problem is. On top of, you know, I should be a little more prepared. I think the second issue to that is I just don't like to waste time. I don't want to go to Target and get some new clothes. If I have to work out in my Brooks Brothers outfit, then that's what's going down, you know? And so I was reflecting on another similar circumstance. I mean, yesterday I showed up at the gym. Now, I had my stretchy work pants, but I did have a T-shirt, and I had shoes on,
the proper footwear. That's fine.
I had some kind of, you know, it still was in my blue khaki type golf pants. But
which
that's
are fine.
Okay. That's
I saw
okay,
the
yeah.
pants. Those work. They work. As long as you have proper shoes and the proper shirt.
So, but here's what, I show up and I have to go to a meeting that I'm volunteering at. And so I hit the Stairmaster and I'm going. And I'm going big time, prime time. It took me 2 hours to get to this gym because, anyway, we'll get into that. And I get off, and I'm drenched in sweat.
Oh, Josh.
And I have no choice but to go straight to the meeting.
Josh.
And I show up there, and it does not look good.
Josh.
It's bad. It's bad news. I don't want to get too into it, but I help people in 12-step recovery and other things. So I was helping other people who were getting sober. And the first thing I said when I walked in that room, I was like, look, guys, I'm still sober despite how things look. But I am just drenched, man. So I figure it's a time issue. I got to just be more I just have to be willing to create a little space, I think.
And have an extra set of clothes in your car.
Maybe
with your
that.
Shoes. That's going to be the key, Josh. I want you to go looking presentable when you go places. I don't want you to look like you just rolled out of bed or got off the treadmill.
Well, my son is going to Kennesaw, and he lives off campus.
Yeah.
And so he's got a bicycle. But those days when it was like 90-plus degrees, he's riding to class. He's drenched. So what he would do is take an extra shirt. He'd take a towel to kind of dry off.
Smart.
And then put a dry shirt on to walk into class.
Okay,
oh,
Josh. There
that
you go.
That is smart. I need a page from his playbook. Here's the thing. Because when you're older, like, well, he's young, right? Your son?
18. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're young, you can just swap a shirt and be like fine, sweat free after about 5 minutes. But you know, once you get to like 35 and older, even if you go on a run and like some serious exercise and you shower, you've got to create like at least a 30-minute buffer between that and your next thing, because you're going to have that like delayed perspiration. And is that just me?
I think that might be you.
Okay, I work up a sweat getting the water from the fridge. I
mean, we're doing well here with our workouts, aren't we? We're getting in shape.
The reason I say that is because I went on a first date within the past year, and again, it was a similar thing, but I had showered. However, I don't know if it was just that it was so high intensity, but on the way to the engagement, I was like, this is not good. I mean, I am like sweating like I'm one of the last people on the Titanic. It's bad news. I show up And I'm in the bathroom. She says, I'm running 10 minutes late, and I've never been so grateful somebody was late. I'm like trying to, you know, towel myself off. I'm coming out there. She sees me, and as we're waiting in the coffee line, I'm just getting wetter and wetter. Like, I just flunked a lie detector test. But God bless this woman. She was just staring at me like nothing was wrong, when meanwhile, I'm sure she's like, what is this guy hiding from me?
Somebody's nervous.
Where's the body he has? Yeah.
Oh, Josh, we sure do love you.
Well, I hope she just thought it was first date jitters and not Dave's suggestion. But luckily, things settled down after about 30 minutes. But it was bad. It looked like just, yeah, stepped out of Whitewater or something. It was no bueno.
Oh, gosh. Well, again, you need to pack another bag.
You know what you need to do? You need to relax.
That's it.
Downtime.
A little downtime.
Yeah.
Like maybe go on a retreat or something.
Oh, yes. Is there a retreat coming up I can go on?
I think there is one, isn't there?
There is one, but it's for married folks.
Oh, I've got to work fast now.
I know, you sure do. Anyway, we have an exciting show ahead of us today. Father Mark White, he's going to be back with us today talking about what do we do when our faith is mocked? That's timely, since this Friday there's going to be a black mass here in Atlanta. So we need to be praying for that and praying for the Lord and hopefully praying that stops. So he's going to be on with us today. We're going to be diving into the Word with Father Rivak from St. Clair in Acworth, Georgia. Chuck's going to be back with us talking about St. Anthony and Mary Claret. So we're going to learn how that saint lived and how we can imitate them in their love for Christ, as well as Josh had a great interview with Dr. Crete. He is the founder and director of Transfiguration Counseling. He's going to be talking about his book, Litanies of the Heart, and we're going to be learning how faith and therapy come together. So great show ahead of us.
Awesome. And tell me a little bit more about that retreat I can go on if I get married in a week.
Listen, the Family Room Retreat at Heritage. If you and your spouse would like a wonderful retreat experience before the crazy holiday season, which is coming up, the Family Room Retreat at Heritage is November 15th through 17th. Go to the Quest event calendar or go to our app for more information. Again, it starts on November the 15th. And I have been to Heritage. It is absolutely beautiful. Mm. So truly going on a retreat with your loved one, it's absolutely amazing.
And all the Catholic history in that area as well.
Oh, it is. You know, the settlement of the first Catholics in Georgia. Mm-hmm. But again, if you want to go on a retreat, if you've been to Barnsley Gardens before, I mean, I consider it similar, but, you know, steeped with beauty and our faith. So definitely sign up for that. It's coming up. Mm-hmm.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father White, we are so glad that you're with us once again. You always enrich our lives and our souls and our consciences. So, yeah, just a huge gift to have you here.
Well, glad to be here. Great to see you guys.
Yeah, and something's been on Allison's mind. She shared it with me, and I thought, that's a really great point, Allison. It was, you know, it was announced recently that there's going to be a black mass in our diocese, which is heartbreaking. In this service, I hear they desecrate a consecrated host. And this notion that was coming up is, you know, how should we respond, Father, when people mock or disrespect our faith? I'm sure there's different protocols that can go on publicly and privately in ways that we can react, but would just love some more insight on what we can do and should do.
Yeah, no, it's sad. It's always happened. I think nowadays we know more about it because of the communication system that we have throughout the world with social media. Stuff gets out. You have to verify it too. And I think when you see things like this, whether it's this or the Olympics, where they took a shot at Catholics, particularly in Christians, by mocking the Lord's Supper, or even a few years ago, the Dodgers, there was something with some sort of transgender night with some really radical kind of drag queen stuff that I think had some occultic elements to it. And there were several people that, you know, were upset about it. Obviously, when it happens, it tends to happen to Catholics and Christians. And it does not happen to other groups as much. But, you know, that's par for the course. If we're, you know, if we're making the claims we are, people will attack. us. And first of all, I think the first thing to know is that it's common. It's not uncommon to see these things. So that doesn't mean it's okay, but you know, you don't want it to overwhelm you. I also think you want to encourage your leaders to speak about it. So like, you know, maybe a comment by your pastor at Mass, a comment through the social media and the church, whatnot. But principally, it needs to be the bishops. And I think the bishops have done well recently. I think there's something planned to deal with this black mass. And you hope almost that you could find out where they got this host, because that would be theft. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So because if they use a host, they got it. They got it, had to get a consecrated host from a church. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I wish the police could be involved in something like that. But I think when it comes to these issues, reparation and prayer is the key, you know, so fasting and praying, you know, I think that the idea is we don't overcome evil with evil. We overcome evil with good. So I know we're having a mass Friday for something else. We always have a mass, but you know, I'll have that on my heart during the mass. And I think there's real, you know, the greatest power is in the sacrifice, the true sacrifice to overcome the greatest evil, even something that is like a black mass or mocking the Olympics or, mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is, occultic acts and religion and things like that. Because you always, that's our approach is not, you know, Christ didn't respond to evil with evil, he responded to evil with the greatest good. And that was perfect act of sacrifice and love. So, mm-hmm. you know, particularly with these things, I think prayer is just huge. Could we pray together as a diocese, maybe even fast mm-hmm. on that day, you know, personally pray and fast, because honestly, you can't necessarily help those people entirely to stop or confront them because you don't know where it's going to be or how it's going to happen, but you can pray for it to be somehow thwarted, and you can pray that they could have changed hearts and they could, you know, experience conversion and forgiveness. Well, so, and that's what we're praying for. So,
you know, and I think too, when our faith is mocked, it's easy. I mean, I get frustrated and irritated, but like you're saying, Father, praying for that person, you know, Father, forgive them for they not know what they do. And truly, because if they truly understood what was happening, they wouldn't be doing that. And maybe informing others of the truth of what's or where really happens at Mass, right? Or when you receive sure, communion, right, that is yeah. the body of Christ, or talking about the holiness of Mass and just encouraging and sharing the truth with others.
Right. And you know, we pray for them because some may not know, but some may know.
Correct.
You know, because the black mass, you know, they know what they're doing. You know, you don't have a black Baptist worship service. Mm-hmm. There's yeah. no such thing as a black, you know, Sunday chorus or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a black mass. So on one level, that says something that they know something is special about the mass, mm-hmm. and they have allowed the enemy, the evil one, to hold them prisoner. And mm-hmm. I think in many cases, they're doing it in spite and real anger and hatred. Mm-hmm. And so we really yeah. want to pray for conversion because, you know, eventually it's just not going to go well for them. And it hurts the Lord that people would do that to him, to put so much energy in evil and do that, those horrible things. But I do know that there's nothing that's, you know, that's unforgivable. You know, we can't, we can hope for forgiveness, but we also want to kind of make it up to the Lord in his heart, because he's hurt by this. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm. Yeah, well, I love what you said, pray and fast, and just right. leaning more into Christ deliberately, intentionally, and just surrendering to his will. And most importantly, praying for those people.
Absolutely.
We forget that prayer moves mountains, and it's
right. actually. And I think, too, you know, make, you know, encourage your bishop like ours has done. He wrote a letter. I'm not sure on the Olympics. Y'all might know that. You can research that. But I know he wrote a letter to the Dodgers organization about that. And he also, I believe he said something about the Olympics. He did. No, he actually did. He wrote an article in the paper about the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
And then he is doing something about the black mass. So it really starts with that, mm-hmm. and then we follow his lead. So
that's a great, and that's encouraging to know we don't have to have the weight of the world on our shoulders. You know, we
right.
can follow the shepherd.
That's right. That's right. It's on his shoulders. No, I'm kidding. It's on Christ's shoulders. And when he leads, we can follow. And he's done fairly well about that when it has happened. And it sadly is probably going to happen more these days. So.
Well, Father, with this in mind, would you mind closing us with a blessing?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God. We're so grateful for you.
Absolutely.
And coming up, we're going to be diving into the Word with Father Rivak from St. Clair's.
Rich Givens, Quest supporter and trusted realtor, goes the extra mile across Metro Atlanta to help people sell for more and buy for less. If desired, a portion of Rich's commission will be donated to the Quest. For more information, go to the Quest Atlanta sponsor page.
In today's world, cybersecurity is critical for your business. Award-winning VerseBrite provides solutions to protect your company from hackers. For protection now, see VerseBrite.com. That's V-E-R-Sprite.com. The Quest thanks VerseBrite for their support.
The Golden Arrow Prayer, dictated by our Lord to Sister Mary of St. Peter. May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, most incomprehensible, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth and under the earth, by all the creatures of God, and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Amen.
This is Young Catholic Minute.
Why don't women have the right to choose?
Because killing people's wrong, that's why.
That might sound extreme. Especially when our culture likes to say things like terminate a pregnancy, blob of tissue, and don't you have compassion for the mother? Yeah, enough compassion to try to protect her from the emotional and spiritual scars she'll have from having someone murder her baby. Because when you strip away all the jargon and emotional fireworks, that's what's left. The real, rational, scientific reality is that from the moment of conception, you have a human being. And just as slavery and the Holocaust have shown us, it's not a good idea to start deciding that some human beings aren't human persons. For more Young Catholic Minutes, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We have the world's greatest scripture scholar. His words, not mine. Father Michael Rivak.
I'm dumb as a box of rocks. I don't know why you'd say that. You're putting a target on my back.
Where is Father Rivak from?
Where is he from?
St. Clair's.
Yeah, St. Clair.
Oh, yeah.
So we're plugging the parish. That's great.
Yeah, you need to plug that parish.
I'm glad we plugged the parish. I thought you were asking me like where he was born. I was like, is this a pop quiz?
I didn't know how I was going to answer. I was stolen as a child and raised by wolves.
Well, you know what? They did a great job of teaching the scriptures because you've been blessing us, and I hear you got something great for us today.
Same thing that that everybody else has at Mass. We're going to read the gospel for the day. It's Luke 12. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, it was one thing going through that. It was a little surprising until you get to the very end, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I can see that. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that really brought it down for everybody. I think everybody can kind of relate to the gospel with that.
That's a delayed. It took me a second to get that, but that's okay. Funny.
It's you know, poor delivery. You know,
No, it was great. Yeah.
So... growing up, I would kind of wrestle with this passage. So, like, the first part of it is great, right? I love the I come to set the world on fire and hot, which is already blazing. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is setting up a problem there that it's not there. Of course, this is before his crucifixion and everything. So he's wandering around. He hasn't reopened the gates of heaven. He hasn't harrowed hell. He hasn't given us the Eucharist. He hasn't poured forth the Spirit. He hasn't done any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. The Spirit, of course, what causes the blazing in our hearts. And so he's lamenting this. He says, there's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and it's his crucifixion. And think about this. He's in anguish until he's crucified. Mm. Like, he's in anguish that he has not yet had the joy of mounting the throne of his cross to draw all people to himself and to reign over all things, as painful as the cross is. And now, obviously, we know he wasn't, like, giddy about getting crucified. Yeah. He sweat blood in the garden and everything like that. But this idea that I have come for a reason, I know what that reason is, and man, I am very, very uncomfortable until it's happened, because the world is smoldering, and I want it to be ablaze. The Father once destroyed the earth with water, and he says this, the next time it's going to be a destruction by fire. And so fire, that purifying, you know, God's love is fire. When Jesus says, I wish it was ablaze, I wish I saw my Father's charity everywhere in the world.
Wow.
Right? And even in heaven, all things are going to be drawn to God. Mm-hmm. And so the person who has acclimated themselves to the Father's charity in this life is going to find the Father's embrace a wonderful heaven. The person who has lived in the cold and the dark, selfishly, their whole life, they're going to find the charity of God's embrace hell. Mm-hmm. Everybody is in God's fire of love, right? And mm-hmm. some of us love it, and some of us think it's hell, right? Because we don't understand it. We never spent our life acclimating to that and developing a savor and a disposition towards that. So, but here's where it gets tough for me, though, and it's with the whole, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring division. And that doesn't shock me so much anymore. I mean, I'm so far past the whole hippie Jesus didn't come to whisper rainbows into people's ears. Mm-hmm. Like he came to do real hard work, like yeah. visceral, corporeal, bleeding, bruised work. Mm-hmm. And that's what he invites us into. Not this whole, let's be nice to each other. That's garbage, right? Kindness and niceness are two different things. We need to be super kind to one another. And sometimes that means calling people out. Sometimes that means getting into fights. Sometimes that means not getting along. If we're getting along at the expense of the gospel, we're all doomed. But if we're fighting for the sake of the gospel, then at least some of us will be saved, is the idea here, right? And so he says, from now on, a household of five will be divided into three. And it was so, it's so shocking to me. It's like, as a kid, I was like, how could anybody, because I thought Christianity is just so wonderful. Like, it was so clearly the thing to do. Like, it was so perfect. It was yep. so good. It was so ordered. It made so much sense. It was natural. Like, I was like, how could anybody ever persecute Christianity? I just don't understand that, you know? And now look at where we are, right? Mm-hmm. We have people screaming, calling Christians bigots because we have the audacity to say simple things like marriage is between a man and a woman. A boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. You should only have children in the stability of marriage and family. You should have children and dogs aren't children. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and we're called angry, you know, we're called hateful, we're called bigots for doing that. And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. This is how a household can be divided, because some have called what is evil good mm-hmm. while others continue to call what is good, good. Mm-hmm. And so there's a conflict there, and a conflict that is worth having. And if you get anything from me talking about this, I want you to know that it is okay to have discord in your family if it's done for the sake of those you love and for the sake of Jesus Christ. He is not going to reward you for keeping your family together at the expense of your soul on the other side of death. He's going to reward you for being willing to let even your family yeah. go to mm-hmm. stay true to him.
Mm. What a message. And Father, let me tell you, I'm going to back up. Of all those beautiful and poignant points, one thing I want to lock in on is, I'm really angry you're saying I can't claim my dog as a dependent.
Well, for tax purposes, I'm sure it would be okay, but just don't start pushing him around in a stroller.
Yeah,
and for heaven's sakes, man, keep your dogs out of restaurants, folks. Dogs don't belong in restaurants. People belong in restaurants where they eat food that they don't want dog hair in.
I mean, look, my Maltese poodle mix is a service dog, okay? I smuggle him in my jacket. He's a secret service dog.
A secret Outstanding. Well,
on that note, let me end with a beautiful quote that I love from St. Catherine of Siena. She said, Be who God meant for you to be, and you will set the world on fire. So let us focus on whatever God is calling us to do, to set the world on fire and be a great influence on others. So
amen.
Thank you, Father, again, mm-hmm. for blessing us with your wonderful wisdom.
My pleasure.
I'm Dave Savage, and our own Atlanta Archbishop Gregory Hartmeyer is asking us to do penance and say prayers of reparation as a response to how a local satanic temple has scheduled a black mass and is selling tickets to the public. The Georgia Bulletin reports that the Archbishop sent a memo to clergy, sisters, and diocesan staff earlier this month addressing the satanic ritual scheduled for tomorrow. Archbishop Hartmeyer asked each parish in the diocese to hold a Eucharistic holy hour and benediction, preferably at 9 p.m. on October 25th. I know they announced it at Mass at my parish, Prince of Peace in Flowery Branch, that we're going to be doing that at 9 o'clock tomorrow evening. The Archbishop said, even though tickets are being sold for this event as if it were merely some sort of dark entertainment, the satanic ritual is a serious sacrilege. It is blasphemous and obscene. It is a blasphemous and obscene inversion of the Catholic Mass. He went on to say, using a consecrated host they claim they obtained illicitly from a Catholic church and desecrating it in the vilest ways imaginable, the practitioners offer it in sacrifice to Satan. He also said it is a deliberate attack on the Catholic Mass as well as the foundational beliefs of all Christians. The ritual mocks our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we Catholics truly believe is present under the form of bread and wine in the Holy Eucharist when it has been consecrated by a validly ordained priest. Archbishop Hartmeyer concluded, we commend our efforts to the Lord, through the loving intercession of Mary, the Mother of God. So we'll be praying, mm-hmm. especially tomorrow uh-huh. evening at 9 o'clock. A UN report titled Violence Against Women and Girls in Sports revealed that nearly 900 medals have been lost by female athletes to transgender-identifying male competitors. Over 600 female athletes in 400-plus events across 29 sports were affected by as of March 2024. Concerns about safety, fairness, and new forms of discrimination in women's sports are raised. Testosterone requirements for transgender athletes are considered inadequate to negate physical advantages. From what I understand, even because if you had the testosterone early, you know, at some point in your life, it's helped to build the muscle mass and everything. Yeah. So even if there is no testosterone mm-hmm. currently present, you had the advantage of having that testosterone mm-hmm. there yeah. earlier. And Bankrate.com's latest survey shows that Americans are loosening their purse strings this year when it comes to discretionary spending on things like travel, dining out, and live entertainment. Now, they say that maybe it's still like post-pandemic celebrations. Maybe it's relief over potentially avoiding because we avoided a recession. Or maybe it's revenge spending due to financial stress. Mm. But here's the breakdown. Whatever the reason, the survey found that 38% of Americans are willing to take on debt for at least one of these types of discretionary purchases. Travel is the most popular option. 27% of people are willing to take on debt for that. Going out to eat is 13% of the people would take on debt for that. And attending a live entertainment event, such as a concert, theater performance, or sporting event, 13% of the people are willing to take on debt for that.
Yeah, my comedy shows have put a lot of people in debt. Primarily myself. But.
Absolutely.
And coming up, Chuck Persner from St. Michael the Archangel is going to be talking to us about St. Anthony Mary Claret.
Let the Atlanta Catholic Radio community pray together. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Quest presents Eucharistic Minutes.
Have you ever heard someone say the Eucharist is just a symbol? When we attend Mass, there are many symbols, but the Eucharist is not one of them. The Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. I'm Linda Scharnhorst. During this time of Eucharistic revival, I sat down with Monsignor Marin to talk about all that we experience at Mass and how it prepares us to receive our Eucharistic Lord. So, Monsignor, everything about the church has meaning and significance, is intentional. So now that we've entered in the church, would you tell us a little bit about where we are?
As we come into the main body of the church, that's called the nave. comes from the Latin word navis, meaning ship. Some people think it's after Peter, the bark of Peter. Others say, well, it's Noah's Ark. I myself, when I think about that, I do think of when the apostles were on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus was asleep in the boat. A big storm came up and they were all there and they woke up Jesus. And Jesus, why are you afraid? And so the whole idea is, once you're in the ship, once you're in the church, you have no need to be afraid. You're going to be tossed about and the waves are going to challenge you. But remember that Jesus has been tossed with us. And he tells us he's always with us. We're not to be afraid.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
Hi, this is Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
We are so excited to have Chuck Persner back with us, parishioner at St. Michael the Archangel Catholic Church in Woodstock, talking about another amazing saint today. So welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you, Allison. Good morning. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Looking good over there in the camel-colored pullover.
That's how I roll.
Very biblical. There were a lot of camels in the Bible.
Everything I do is just so biblical.
Right. Just don't swallow the camel. Isn't that a quote in Scripture?
I hope not.
You strain the gnat and swallow the camel. That's the quote.
Really?
Yes.
I've never heard of
Jesus accused the Pharisees of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Unbelievable. Well, so
at least I won't try to go through the eye of the needle.
That's a tough path.
Who do we have for today, Chuck?
Yes. So today we have an optional memorial on the calendar. It's St. Anthony Mary Claret. And he was a man who, as one commentary suggested, he packed 100 years of work into his 35 years as a priest.
Wow.
And as we get to talking about him, I think you'll see why he said that. And, you know, Josh and Allison, I know you've had some great priests come on here on the Morning Quest every morning. You have a different priest, sometimes a couple of priests. And, you know, they do such a nice job. And I'm sure I would venture to say that many of them have drawn inspiration from this man, St. Anthony Mary Claret. Born on Christmas Eve in the year 1807 in a village named Salent, which is in Catalonia, Spain. And he was the fifth of 11 children, a very pious kid. You know, in fact, when he was 11 years old, the bishop visited his school and he asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. And without missing a beat, he did reply, a priest.
Wow.
Ill health sadly prevented him from joining the Jesuit order, which is really what he desired to do. But he instead became a diocesan priest. But what was interesting was before that, as a young adult, he was quite a good weaver. He was a maker of cloth, and this was in his father's textile factory. You know, took on the family business and did what he needed to do. But when the call comes, the call comes. Mm-hmm. And he was ordained at the age of 27. His focus was really on the rural areas, preaching and organizing conferences for clergy. He did a great deal of writing. He wrote, are you ready for this? 144 books.
Wow.
True, staggering number, you know. And speaking of staggering numbers, estimated 25,000 homilies.
25,000?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, think about that. 25,000 homilies. Missions, too many to count. Historians don't even know how many missions he held and where he went. But, you know, during his mission work, he accepted no money and he walked everywhere. No Uber app on his cell phone, Josh.
So, yeah, he took the Lord's word seriously, except no money.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Moved from town to town, oftentimes through very rugged terrain. Had one pair of shoes, one set of clothes, but he did bring a few books with him, too. Maybe even a few that he wrote, right? Did not eat red meat or drink red wine. Some habits that maybe I should start thinking about adopting. Slept maybe 3 to 5 hours a night. I mean, just a really austere, disciplined man, you know. And Allison, I know you have a quote from his bishop.
So Father Claret's bishop wrote, "This town has never seen the likes of this. Enemies are at peace. Scandals have been ended. Broken marriages are repaired. Restitutions have been made. No one can withstand the fire of his preaching, the kindness of his manner. Everyone, even the proudest, fall at his feet." Talking about humility and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yep, he just had that missionary gift.
What a gift. And then he becomes the Archbishop of Santiago, Cuba, doesn't he?
That's right. Absolutely.
And he reforms the diocese spiritually and socially and faced death threats due to these sweeping reforms that he made. But I am really happy he finally opened the country up for gambling and commercial trade. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what happened.
But that is not on his resume.
No, but he did. Disregard that last statement, but he did become the confessor to the Queen of Spain. Now, you got to be a big deal to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And to your prior point, I think there were 14 attempts on his life. And he did all this in 6 years as bishop.
Wow.
You know, he turned things around pretty quickly.
Fast.
So some of these reforms he made, which really, I guess, were controversial at the time, particularly zoning on the social reforms, he abolished concubinage. I think I said that right. So he opposed common practices like cohabitation outside of marriage, which, again, obviously would have upset many people engaged in those kinds of lifestyles. He fought for social justice and really condemned exploiting the poor, which angered wealthy landowners and powerful people profiting from these practices, and opposed slavery. He spoke up against the mistreatment of slaves, which was a very sensitive issue in Cuba at the time, and restored church discipline, promoted sacramental life, and emphasized catechesis and evangelization. So this guy really, really was a catalyst for change within the church and society.
Absolutely. And, you know, ever evolving, in 1848, he went on to establish a publishing house.
Wow.
And the following year founded the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, also known as the Claritans. In later years, he found another congregation, the Sisters of Mary Immaculate. And this was a group dedicated to the instruction of the young. You know, mystic, many miracles associated with him. He often saw Our Lord and Our Lady, to whom he was especially devoted through mystic visions. And they would instruct him and encourage him. And as such, he would prophesy. And, you know, in talking about some of the things that he incorporated, Josh, these were things that, you know, obviously come to roost in our world today. These are the same social issues that we fight as Catholics to try and live a life rooted in the commandments and the truth.
You know, and talking about that, another quote from him, love is the most necessary of all virtues. Love in the person who preaches the word of God is like the fire in a musket. If a person were to throw a bullet with his hands, he would hardly make a dent in anything. But if the person takes the same bullet and ignites some gunpowder behind it, it can kill. It is much the same with the word of God. If it is spoken by someone who is filled with the fire of charity, the fire of love of God and neighbor, it will work wonders. And that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, that is spiritual gunpowder, so to speak, was the Holy Rosary. Big proponent of that. He was actually known as a Latter-day Saint Dominic in that regard. And prayer and austerity. And to your point, Josh, you know, adherence to the Ten Commandments, which isn't very popular in our world today, and as we see, nothing new under the sun back in the day. Same was the situation in Santiago.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, you took us on a thrill ride. I'm holier, I'm happier.
All right.
My bank account's bigger because of you.
Really?
I don't know. Probably
Can I have a loan?
Not. Yeah.
All right. Spiritually rich.
That's treasures in heaven.
Yes. That's what we're storing up here. St. Anthony, Mary Claret.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Allison, I think you've got an interesting conversation starter for us.
I do. I have this little box of, it's by Rethink Conversation Starters for Families, just to get us communicating and talking so we can bring that home to our families and to those that we meet. So today's topic is going to be funniest family memories. Share one day.
This is when we lived in Jacksonville and we were going to go out on one of those cruises that they go out into international waters. Yeah. They've got like casino set up and everything. So we're going to go out on one of those and we're at dock, and I guess they have to blow their boat horn at like for a certain amount of time. I don't know how that goes, but so my sister-in-law and my brother were down visiting, and then I had a couple co-workers. We were all on the boat together, so they're just trying to get to know each other. And my co-worker asked my sister-in-law, so you know, what have you been doing since you've been down here? And she goes, oh, well, we... And all of a sudden, that boat horn goes off. Like, we couldn't hear anything except that boat horn.
Yeah.
And then it blew for probably 20, 30 seconds. I don't know how long it blows for. Just solid. And then as soon as it stopped, she goes, And that's about it. I don't know if you just had to be there, but we just laughed so hard at that. It was great timing on her part.
Well, the question would be then, what did she literally keep talking through the boat horn, or did she just stop and stay silent and then drop the that's about it? Because that's the difference between it was a deliberate punchline versus that was just how she rolled.
She's got a good sense of humor, but she's not like one to tell a joke. So yeah. I don't know. To this day, I still don't know if she... I'll have to ask her sometime.
A savage mystery. Yes. Savage family mystery.
What about you, Josh?
Well, this one, interesting memory. I remember when I was in eighth grade, and I could be such a punk, man. I could really, between getting thrown out of... I spent so much time in in the principal's
detention
office. Yeah, I should have just paid rent or something. I mean, it was bad. So we're driving back from, I think, Barnsley Gardens or something mm-hmm. with my father. And I am just acting a fool, saying some things I really shouldn't have. Now, this is way before I was a believer. And I said some stuff to him I will not repeat. And then my dad was completely bald all over. So he had alopecia. From what I remember, I think I wound up and slapped him in the back of the head. I was a total mess. I mean, just a total mess. Totally. And he just stopped in the highway and just looks at me and goes, "Get out." I was like, "Wait, no, you can't. I can't get out. Get out." And so literally, I'm like, "What am I supposed to do?" And he just looked at me and said, "You better hope somebody wants to adopt this highway," and speeds off.
Josh,
did
he
come back?
To let you people know, I am currently up for adoption to this day. No, of course, yeah, he did come back. He sped off for a minute, and I'm just waiting there. Now, I was kind of an entitled kid, so I was like, "He's coming back," but. Yeah, he did come back. So praise the Lord.
Wow. Well, I had two, but let me share this one. It's a family one. So years ago, my dad had a car. It was a antique cream Ford LTD, and we were always horrified to be seen in this car. But we were younger. So we were actually going to the lake one day, and my dad had put the rowboat on top of the car, strapped it on, and we ended up getting a flat tire.
Oh, wow.
And it's so funny. We ended up stopping in front of a church. So we have a picture of the antique cream Ford LTD with the turquoise rowboat on top, and we're all
and right a flat tire.
And a flat tire. My dad, Saint Victor. Amazing dad. Yeah, he had to change the tire, but what a memory that was. Absolutely hilarious.
Sounds like a great dad.
He is. I love you, Dad.
And coming up?
Absolutely. Coming up, Dr. Jerry Crete, the founder and director of Transfiguration Counseling, is going to be talking about his book, Litanies of the Heart.
This is Mari from the Family Room here at The Quest Atlanta. John and Craig and I would love for you to join us at a wonderful retreat November 15th through 17th at Heritage, which is a beautiful new Catholic retreat center in Crawfordville, Georgia. Go to thequestatlanta.com and click on our event calendar. Scroll to the weekend of November 15th and you will be able to sign up there. Join us at the retreat where we are going to be sharing the wisdom, the wit, and all the experiences that we've gained from 3 years of hosting wonderful people here in the Family Room.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi.
After being born visually impaired, Chris Adamson went totally blind by the time he was in the third grade. He always loved sports, though, and wanted to participate in some way. When he got older and began attending San Diego's Mission Bay High School, the perfect solution presented itself: track and field. When Chris is competing, David Cervantes is his running guide, who keeps pace with him as they both hold a yellow tether so Chris can find his way around the track. Chris takes a healthy pride in his accomplishments and hopes to serve as an inspiration to others. He told ABC 10 News, "I'm trying to encourage more people that are blind to run track because it's not that hard." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Vocations Awareness Week starts November 3rd, culminating with a family mass of vocations Saturday, November 9th at St. Peter Chanel. Afterwards, a discussion with parents of seminaries, priests, and sisters. For more information, click events at thequestatlanta.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Nick Kongowasa from Reproductive Health Medicine and Gynecology, and I belong to the Our Lady of Assumption Catholic Church in Brookhaven, Georgia. You've been listening to AM 1160, The Quest, your metro-wide Atlanta Catholic radio station.
I'm here with Dr. Jerry Crete, founder of Transfiguration Counseling and author of Litanies of the Heart. It's great to be here with you, my friend.
Hey, fantastic to be with you.
So this book really delves into some uncharted territory, especially within the realm of faith and counseling. I'd love to hear a little bit more about it.
Yeah, well, I've been a counselor for a number of years and marriage and family therapist, and you know, I've had some profound clinical experiences, first with EMDR, which is a type of trauma treatment. But then when I discovered parts work, and the most popular system right now is internal family systems, and I started using that with my clients, wow, it was incredible, the change. Like, the change was happening quickly. Clients were taking to it very well, most of them. They were reporting changes in their own interior life and their relationship with others, you know, within weeks. And so I was excited. I mean, this was a great method.
I would love to just know, in a basic form, what is IFS, internal family systems, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. So that was a particular method developed by Richard Schwartz in the 1980s. It's basically this idea or this notion that within ourselves, in our interior life, that we don't have just like one single singular personality, but we actually have a multiplicity within. And they call that parts, sometimes sub-personalities, you might say, in aspects of self. You know, this idea that we have inner conflicts. One part of me wants to do this, while another part of me doesn't. And we're sort of duking it out within, or even this notion of like an inner child comes into it. And the idea that maybe we have parts that are kind of representing different times in our lives, different traumas, different struggles. But we also have parts that are just super great resources and helpful. So it's this idea that we have this inner self, this core self, and that we also have these parts that are related parts of the self. And so this whole method is about connecting with, understanding, healing, working with, creating harmony within as we work with our parts.
So I'm assuming that some of these parts are properly integrated and some are not, and that can result in certain interior discrepancies or challenges. Is that the belief?
Absolutely. Even when St. Paul says, I do what I do not want to do, or St. James talks about a war within my members, they're really referring to inner conflicts. And so, and this takes many forms. And like you said, the word integration is a great one, because this is all about inner integration. It's not about fusing ourselves into one singular thing. It's about creating an inner harmony. And so we might even have parts, you know, that are functioning in really negative ways. And then we have other parts that don't like that. So for example, we talk about parts that are like manager parts. So I've got parts that are manage my life, you know, like go to work, and maybe it's a part that's like a dad or a therapist or whatever. But I also have other parts maybe that jump in to cope. And sometimes the ways that they cope might be negative. You know, for lots of people that could be like video games, you know, binging, or watching television all the time, or workaholism, or alcoholism, or drugs, or whatnot. So they can be, we have parts, we call those firefighter parts. And so we got a manager part, firefighter part, and sometimes what happens is the firefighter part is trying to like prevent negative feelings, trying to prevent shame, fear, different things. And the manager part is just trying to run life. And they can get into conflict.
I thought this was really cool what you said. There was this correlation, actually, between some of the work you're doing and these kind of winks in scripture that allude to there is potentially biblical relevance to what you're talking about. What have you found is the best integration between these two worlds, the therapy and then also scripture or the teachings of the church?
It's funny. I've had people ask me sometimes, you know, have you baptized IFS or ego state therapy and this kind of thing? And I actually don't say that. And I don't say that because I think I've discovered something that really predates Definitely Richard Schwartz in the 1980s, but even Freud with his id, ego, and you know, and so on, and Carl Jung and the different psychologists in the 20th century that kind of developed some of these ideas of inner multiplicity. But what I would actually say is that Richard Schwartz stumbled upon something in the faith that he didn't know he was stumbling upon, and that is, he was working with these women at the time in the 1980s, these women with eating disorders. And he was doing this kind of gestalt work, which is like basically connecting with their inner parts. And he was having them, you know, talk to their parts and so on. And as they were doing this thing he calls unblending, which is just like getting the parts kind of a little separate so that you can connect with them. As he was doing the unblending, he discovered this thing he just called self. And it was naturally compassionate, naturally kind, naturally patient, calm, creative, just this natural self that just wanted to heal. It didn't matter their trauma history. It didn't matter what was going on in their lives. There was this core that was good. And I think he naturally stumbled upon the Imago Dei. He naturally discovered the image of God reflected in the natural realm. And he just called it self. And then he went into this kind of new age approach to it, where he was, you know, like seeing this greater self in the universe, and our inner self is just this one part of this bigger self. And so he went into a spiritual place that made me super uncomfortable. And so that's part of one of the reasons. There's more than one, but that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, was to show, no, here's the Catholic way to do this work. What I have found is that, yes, we're working on the natural realm when we're doing psychological work, generally speaking. And so we're working on healing parts. You know, we're working on learning how to love oneself better and then therefore love others better. But I feel like the spiritual and the natural kind of come together in a lot of that. I mean, it's Christ himself who said to love your neighbor as yourself is the second commandment. And so how do you love your neighbor if you hate yourself? Most people deep down hate themselves in reality. And so learning to love oneself properly means connecting with your inner parts, discovering this core spiritual center, which Dick Schwartz just calls the self. I use St. Paul's term, the inmost self. And discovering that inmost self. And once you unblend the parts, once you get to know your parts and you're accessing the inmost self, that's a spiritual event. That's a spiritual reality. That's what the monastic tradition has known for years, for centuries, really. St. Athanasius called it the a mirror of the soul, or other mystics and monks in the church have called it like the eye of the soul or whatnot, or the true self or the core self or something along these lines. But it's all speaking to the same reality of this deep inner part of the soul. And so when I was discovering all this, it like took me into like, hey, wanting to understand what is the Old Testament view of the heart and the soul and the New Testament, and what did the church fathers say? And it really discovered it's all there, you know. And even St. Augustine talked about his disintegrated heart.
Yeah,
he talked about the separation within, and what it means to be reintegrated, what it means to be. So I feel like, yes, this is on the natural realm primarily, but it opens the door to greater spiritual realities. And I think that when we do start, you know, in this place where we're working with our parts and we're connecting with our innermost self, then, and we're in a state of grace, then we're opening the door for grace to work, for the infused graces of faith, hope, and love to work through the heart to all of our system, to all of our parts, or a whole human person, and it's transformational.
Thank you so much, Doctor. We are here with Dr. Jerry Crete. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for joining us on The Quest. God bless.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to
The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Josh, you're in luck.
Why is that?
We just found out the Family Room Retreat at Heritage is not just for married couples.
Oh, it's not?
You can go.
I can go?
Mm-hmm. You can go.
So I don't have to propose to somebody this week?
No, 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 no. You may go.
I'm a lucky man.
You are.
So, yeah, what do you know more about that?
Yeah, you know what? Again, it's the Family Room Retreat at Heritage on November 15th through the 17th. And again, if you are a married couple and you want to go have a great time together, it is beautiful. The rooms are absolutely beautiful. The food is delicious. So I definitely recommend it before we get into the busy holidays. Or if you're single, you know, mm-hmm. or if you're a widow, go enjoy that beautiful time with the Lord in his calm place and just enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, I might have to make a little sachet over there.
I think you should. And again, Mari, John, and Craig, the hosts for them, their show, The Family Room, are going to be giving short sessions on who we are as men and women in Christ. They'll be talking about marriage and also family. So again, great opportunity for anyone.
And you will leave holier, healthier, and happier.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And we have some other stuff going on today?
Well, you know, some great shows, of course. More to Life, I always love talking about them. Their topic today, perfectly perfect people struggling with perfection. They're going to be talking about that today at 10 a.m. Again, we're going to have lunch with Father John Ricardo at noon. So great, great times.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll miss you, but I'll see you tomorrow. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
Have a great day.